Good morning, everybody. Oh, come on. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's a beautiful day to worship the Lord. Amen. Well, welcome to Family Life Church. As I mentioned, my name is Isaac. I'm the executive pastor here at Family Life, and it is an honor, a privilege to be here today. As you can see, I'm not Pastor Ray. Pastor Ray and Pastor Esther are getting a break. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. So, you guys, if you guys were here with us back in October, my brother and his wife Jessica, they moved to Hawaii, and so there's a picture of them there. And my parents, so Pastor Ray and Esther are there visiting them this week. And so it's a really wonderful opportunity for them to be there. And it's a great opportunity for them to have some rest time, to take a break and rest. And so I was happy to do this, and Pastor asked me if I would speak, and I said, sure, I could do that. And so here I am. Thank you guys so much. I want to thank God, first of all, for being so good to me in my own life, to even bring me to a place where I'm able to do this. Craziness. Just don't even think about that because it makes no sense. Thank you to Pastor Ray and Pastor Esther for giving me this opportunity. Thank you to you guys for being here, for listening. And my prayer is that you take something that was shared today and apply it to your life and go live it in your Monday. And so you guys are awesome, and we're so thankful. Reminder, next week is Team Sunday. We're going to honor all our FLC ministry teams, everyone who serves in any capacity. We're going to recognize and honor them. In celebration of such, we want everyone to come wearing your sports jerseys and attire, your hats, I don't even wear a blanket, I don't know, wear whatever you want. Anything that has sports stuff on it, bring it with you. And if you don't have any jerseys or anything like that, I go get one. You can wear Family Life Church stuff, anything with FLC on it, or any kind of sports of anything. If you want to get on Pastor Ray's good side, you can wear something Raiders. Personally, I'm a 49ers fan, and they happen to be in the Super Bowl this year, so right on. But I'm still happy to be here and happy to be with you guys. If you guys haven't heard, Pastor Kevin, I'm going to ask you to stand again because you're amazing. And I want to give you a hug because you're awesome. God has put it on Pastor Kevin and Elle's heart to go out, and they're going to start their own work out in Rancho. And next Sunday, which is Team Sunday, is going to be their last Sunday with us. And so we just love you, honor you, and we're so thankful for all your years as well as mine.
God bless you. Love you.
It's bittersweet. It's bittersweet. It's exciting for God to start a new work. It's exciting. Team Sunday is the perfect day to do something like this because we're all working together. We're all on God's team. We're all in the army of the Lord. We're all working for Jesus. We're all helping somebody else come a little bit closer to Jesus. We're sad that he's not going to do that with us anymore, specifically here, but he's going to go be serving God. I mean, what is not to celebrate about serving God? I mean, come on, right? And we're all on the same team, so praise God for that. And if you guys want to tackle him next week and make him stay, I'm not going to stop anyone from doing that. So, also in 3 weeks, we have our life group launch day. We're going to be, Pastor Rob Spina, if you guys have been around, Pastor Ray talks about him. One of his closest friends in ministry is going to be here talking about favor of God in our life. This year is 2020, our year of favor. And so Pastor Rob is going to kick off our life group launch week that day. And we're going to be reading a book all together as a church on the favor factor is by Rob Spina. So it's going to be awesome. And be here for that. It's going to be good. Amen. So let's pray. Prayer is always a good way to start a service, right? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being so good to us, for your grace and your mercy that is new every morning. Thank you, Father, for the word that you put in my heart, Lord. Help me to communicate it in a way that people can understand it, they can apply it to their lives, they can go live it and go do it. Thank you for your Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us into all truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you guys today about stepping up. The title of a message was just simple, step up. Step up. And let me just put a disclaimer out there. Everything that I say today, I could sit right there and someone could preach that to me because I need this too. Step up. So, raise your hand if you are a human. All right, cool. Me too. Now, as a human, raise your hand if being human, you struggle to take. You know that step God wants you to take, but it's hard sometimes. You don't always want to do it. Anyone like that? Oh my God, look around. Oh good, I got both my hands up. Everyone just do this. Okay. We're all in the same boat. This is my little paddle. We're paddling in the same boat together. We're all human. We all have the same struggles. God is with us in those struggles. It doesn't mean we don't have the struggle, right? So we're all in the same boat. Very often, and I'm fairly certain that many of you, when I said that thing that you know you need to do that you're not doing, probably something came to your mind right then. That's probably the thing you need to be doing, right? We very often know what we need to do, what we should do, what God has asked us and called us to do, yet so many of us find ourselves putting it off and making excuses or giving ourselves reasons that seem reasonable if you don't really think about it, to justify to ourselves why we're not doing that thing that God wants us to do. So I thought I would start you guys off with the punchline. I'm going to give you the answer, and then we're going to keep coming back to it throughout the message. It's coming on the screen right now. 3, 2, yes. Okay. God has graced me to do what he's called me to do. I'm going to say it again. God has graced me to do what he has called me or asked me or prompted me, or that thought in the back of my mind, I'm not sure exactly what it came from, but it makes a lot of sense. It's going to help me move forward. God has given me the grace to take that step. God has graced me to do what he has called me to do. So I want you guys all to say this with me and say it like you mean it. 1, 2, 3. God has graced me to do what he has called me to do. One more time. God has graced me to do what he's called me to do. Whatever that is. If your one next step, which is showing up at a church, well, high five, I'm so glad that you're here. God has given you that grace to make it happen. Everyone's one next step is different depending on what's going on in your life. Today I'm going to talk to you about applying this in your spiritual life. How can I get a little bit closer to Jesus? What can I do in my own life to take that one next step closer to God? But these same principles can be applied to your professional life. What's one step I can do to help my career move forward? This can be applied to your marriage. What is one step that I can take to help my relationship with my spouse be better? This can be applied to your kids. What's one thing that I can do to have a better relationship with my children, Amen. With my neighbors, with my coworkers? What's one thing that I can do to increase my own internal peace? These are all questions we can ask ourselves and apply these principles in these areas. But the point is, if I don't know, if my goal is, I want to get closer to God, awesome, I want that too. What specifically are you going to do to take that step towards God? Saying I want to get closer to God, anyone can say that. What are you doing to help you get closer to God? Say, I want a good relationship with my wife. That's great. One day I'll want that too. What are you going to do right now that's going to help you have a better relationship? I want to have better communication with people. Check yourself. Are you coming across rude, condescending, bad attitude, irritated, irritable by whatever they say? Everything just grates on you. What's one thing that I can do to help myself in these areas? Okay, so how do I know that God's grace is with me to do what he's called me to do? Good question. In Hebrews chapter 4, God answers the question for us. We do not have a high priest, so pause real quick. High priest here is talking about Jesus. In the Old Testament, the high priest was the one who went forth and made a sacrifice for the sins of the people on their behalf. Jesus, when he died on the cross for our sins, became our final high priest. He made sacrifice for our sins, for our sake, on our behalf, shedding his own blood for us. So he is now the high priest. So we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations. We have one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is, the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help in time of need, an appropriate blessing coming at just the right moment. God's grace is available. And let me put it to you this way. If you're a follower of Christ, God's grace has already been laid out in front of you. For whatever that one step is for you, the grace is there already right now for you to take that one next step. Why are you not taking it? And again, I can sit right there and ask myself this question. As I was preparing this, I was like, dang, man, I need this too. What is stopping me from taking that one next step? So the question becomes, okay, that sounds great, Isaac. We want to step up. I want to step up. I want to get closer to God. I want to go to a relationship, et cetera. Great. How do I step up? Good question. I'm glad you asked that question because we're going to talk about that right now. How do I step up? Number one, before I can take any step, I have to identify what is that one next step that God is asking me to take? What is that one thing that I can do that's going to draw me just a little bit closer to God? That's going to bring more peace in my life. That's going to help me have healthier relationships in my life. If my goal is too broad, how can I take any steps in all these? There's too many directions. Pick a step. What is one next step I can take? Maybe for you, it's joining a life group. Our life groups are starting in 3 weeks. Don't miss out. It's an opportunity. We can't make you go. You don't even have to go. It's an opportunity. Would you like to have healthy relationships? Would you like to be around other believers who are also serving Jesus and trying to get closer to Him? Awesome. Life group is a great opportunity for you to do that. Maybe your one next step is setting apart 5 minutes in your morning to read a scripture and say, thank you, Lord, for that truth. Help me to do this today and go on with your day. Maybe your one next step is committing to giving some percentage giving every week. We encourage you to use a tithe. The Bible talks about the tithe as 10%. Committing to percentage giving is all about surrendering my trust to God. I'm not trusting in my money. I'm not trusting in my bank account. I'm trusting in you, God. Yeah. Everything I have came from you in the first place. Even my ability to work was a gift that you gave me. So I'm just giving it back to you. Amen. Maybe your next step is speaking just a little bit nicer to the people around you in your life. Maybe your next step is being a little more, bit more patient with your kids. Maybe your next step is, I don't know, committing to be here on Sunday. You're here now, wonderful. Maybe your next step is just committing to be here every week. Maybe your next step is, I want to be more mindful and more aware of God's presence with me. God will never leave you nor forsake you. That means He's with you always. God is omnipresent, meaning He is at all times present everywhere. So whether or not I feel like He's with me is irrelevant because the Word of God says He is always with me. My feelings don't determine what God does. God's Word tells me who He is, what He does. And God will never leave me and never forsake me. So step one, how do I step up? One, I got to know what the heck I'm trying to do. Identify your goal. What is the one next step that God has asking me to take? And again, I'm fairly confident that we know what it is. Maybe it's giving up something. Maybe it's just choosing, instead of staying up till 2 a.m. watching TV, I go to bed at 10. That way I get like 7 or 8 hours of sleep. That'd be great. And I think I'm depressed and anxious, but really what I need is some sleep and some good food. And just take care of myself and I'll feel better. What is that one next step that I can do? So if I first have to identify what it is, awesome. In Proverbs chapter 19... Let me slow down. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart. So in other words, I can make up all kinds of stuff that I want to do. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Yeah. Ask God, Lord, what would you have me do? And get ready, because He'll answer, He'll tell you. Lord, what would you like me to do? And Psalm 139 is a prayer that I pray over myself often. Because I'm with you right there. I'm there. I can be my own worst enemy. I can be my own biggest interferer. I can tell myself, God wants me to do that, but I really like this, and I'm going to keep on doing this. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God. and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Lord, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. What is one? What is one step? What is one? I'm not talking about 50 steps. I'm talking about just one step right here. What's one thing that I can do to get a little bit closer to Jesus? What's one thing that I can do to improve my own well-being? What's one thing I can do? Number two. So the first thing I got to do is I got to identify it. Number two, reflect. What's stopping me from taking that one next step? And then ask yourself the follow-up question. What's really stopping me from taking that one next step? I might tell myself, I don't want to go to life groups because I don't have the time. But really, I'm afraid of being vulnerable in front of somebody else. I don't want them to judge me. I might say, I don't have it in my budget to give to God. But really, I'm afraid that if I give to God, I'm not going to have enough for myself. What is really stopping you from taking that one next step? I might tell myself, I'm just going to put myself out there. I don't have time to get up and spend time with you, God. But really, I don't want to stop watching Netflix at nighttime and go to sleep at a good time so I can get up and spend time with God. What's really stopping you? Again, I'm going to sit right there. Isaac, what is stopping me from doing that one thing that God wants me to do? And I can look backwards on my life and see where there have been steps when I was on this side of it before I took it, and I was like, oh my God, it's so hard. I can't believe God don't do this. God wants me to do this. You want me to do this? Come on, God. And I've done it. And over time, taking this step helps me take in a position to be to take this step. And once I take this step, then I can take this step, which 3 steps ago, I didn't even know that was a step that I could take. And over time, little by little, I grow. And I become a better version of myself. And I get a little bit closer to Jesus, and Jesus is with me. God's grace, oh my God, I want to burn this into your mind. God's grace is already with you to do whatever he's asking you to do. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's grace is with you to do what he's asked you to do? I have to ask myself that question too. If I really believed it, then my actions are going to change. I behave according to what I believe. So if I really believe that God's grace is there to take this one next step, I'm the one getting in my way of taking that one next step. God's grace is there already. God's grace is God's unmerited, undeserved favor. 2020 is our year of favor. Hallelujah. And as I sow good seed into my life, I'm going to reap good harvest. But at the same time, as I sow bad seed into my life, see this, I know I probably shouldn't do that, but I'm going to do it anyways. I reap something from that as well. The law of sowing and reaping is as real as the law of gravity. It's a law that God has put into our existence. And anything that I sow into my life, every choice I make, every step I take is sowing seed into my life, good and bad. And I'm at all times reaping multiple different harvests. These harvests over here, where I'm spending time with God, I'm getting good seed. I'm getting good harvest from that. These times over here, where I'm ignoring God and doing my own thing, man, I'm stressed out. I'm anxious. I'm angry. I'm like, what the heck is going on? I'm frustrated. There could be other natural consequences that come with that. So, one, how do I step up? Identify what is that one next step. Ask God. In James, he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give graciously to you, without reminding you how unworthy we are of asking him for his wisdom. God is so, so good. He's so good. I love the song that we sang today. Jesus, you change everything. Jesus has the potential to change everything in your life, if you'll surrender to him. Just a little bit. Just what's the one next step that's going to help you get closer to Jesus? He can change your life. As many areas as I'm willing to surrender to God, that's how many areas he can change. As many areas as I choose to hold on to, he's like, ah, God, you can have that area, but not this one. Now I'm subject to my own choices in this area and not getting God's blessings because I'm holding on to it and not giving it to him. So, how do I step up? How do I go to that one next step? One, I got to know what it is. Two, I got to reflect. What is stopping me? What is really stopping me? What's holding? What are the fears in my heart? What are the worries, the doubts, the insecurities? To do that one next thing that I know God wants me to do. In Matthew 6:33, if you guys have the YouVersion Bible app, it has a lot of really awesome translations, and I found this translation recently. It's called the Passion Translation, and I really, really like how it phrases a lot of the scriptures. So you may have heard the same scripture saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In the Passion Translation, it says it this way. So above all else, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all those other less important things that you would choose to do instead of pursuing God, all those less important things that I think I want right now, I don't want to give them up because I want to hang on to them, even though God's saying me to do this, all those less important things will be given to you abundantly. God wants to bless us. God wants us to experience joy and peace and satisfaction. And one of the Psalms, it says, in your presence, Lord, are pleasures forevermore. God created us with the ability to experience pleasure. God created us with the ability to enjoy life and feel joy and feel peace. God wants to give us all these things. While we're on the topic, God created sex. Did you guys think about that? God could have made procreation any way he wanted to, but he created sex for us to enjoy in the way that he meant for us to enjoy it. Now, if I'm going to take matters into my own hands and do things my own way, I'm going to reap harvest from those choices. But if I want God's blessing in my sex life, if I want God's blessing in my relational life, I got to do things the way that God says for me to do them. I can choose to do them this way if I want to, but I'm going to receive a different harvest on this side than if I do things God's way. Does that make sense? God says, I set before you death and life. Choose. Choose life, because life is better. If you choose death, you're going to reap some heartache. Oh my God, am I the only person who's experienced death in his life? Sin always, always, always brings forth a harvest of death. And obviously, I didn't physically die. I'm still alive, breathing right now, right? Death is separation from God's goodness. Death is a severance from what God wants to give me. But he can't give me because I'm choosing a way that is not conducive to receiving his blessing. I'm sowing this kind of seed, I'm going to receive this kind of harvest. If I sow apples, I'm going to get apples. It's up to me. I have to choose, what do I want? What kind of outcomes do I want? Actually, I can look at, right. Okay, so that's the future, that's the past. I can look right here. All the choices in my life led me to where I am right here. What do I like? What do I not like? What have I been doing that led me here? What have I not been doing that led me here? What do I want on this side? If I want something different, I have to sow different seed. I have to make different choices. Every choice is a seed into my life. So if I don't like what I'm receiving on this side, if I'm reflecting on my life today, that's why step two is reflect. Reflection is so vitally important. If I am not honest with myself, how can I step forward? If I'm not honest with myself, how can I address the things that are stopping me from doing the thing that God wants me to do? If I'm not honest with myself, how can I change? How can I do something different? I have to be real. What have I been sowing into my life? And I'm there with you. I sow bad seed to you sometimes. And I reap bad harvest sometimes from that bad seed that I sow. At the same time, in this area of my life, I'm sowing good seed. Lord, I'm seeking you. Lord, I'm being patient and waiting for you to move in my life. Lord, I'm not taking matters into my own hands in this area. But this area, oh man, God wants me to stop doing that? Yeah, but God, I like that. And that thing is meeting something in me that feels good at that moment. afterwards, I might have some regret, some guilt, some shame, but in that moment, it makes you forget about all of that. I really like it. What is that producing in your life? What is the net outcome? What is the harvest that you're that those choices are yielding in your life? If you're not real with yourself, if you're not asking yourself honest questions, what choices am I making that's bringing this to me? How can you do something different? I can't. If I'm not honest with myself, if I'm not asking God, search me, oh God, and know my heart. Show me my own anxious thoughts. Show me the ways that I'm not trusting you. Show me what I'm doing that's producing the things that I don't like in my life. I'm searching for peace. Lord, show me what I'm doing that's compromising my own internal peace of mind. What choices am I making that's stopping me from experiencing your peace? That I know, your word says, I give you peace. Before Jesus died, he prayed a prayer over us. I give you peace. Not peace as the world knows or that the world can give you, but peace that only I can give you. And peace that only comes by a relationship with Jesus Christ. That peace is available to me if I will go after it. Amen. I put the food on your plate, it can't make you eat it. I open the door for you, it can't make you walk through it. The door is there. I set before you death and life. Choose life. You can choose death if you want to choose that. But just be prepared for the outcome that comes with that. And if you choose life, get ready for the outcome that comes with that. That's a good outcome. That's the good. Amen? So above all else, constantly chase after God. Then all those other less important things that I think in that moment are so important that I don't want to give them up, God will give you those things. So how do I step up? Number one, I got to identify. What's that one next step? Number two, I got to reflect. What's stopping me, really, honestly, stopping me from taking that next step? Number three, accept. I will always, always. What goes up must come down. What I sow, I will always reap. What I sow, I will always reap what I sow. That you can't escape gravity, it's a law. You can't escape sowing and reaping, it's a law. When I sow seed, I'm going to reap harvest of that type of seed. In Galatians 6, he talks about this. You cannot mock the justice of God. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. The one who sows to his flesh will from his flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to his spirit will from the spirit reap life and peace. What do you want to reap? What are you currently reaping right now today in this life? Today's 26th? Oh, my God. January 26th. This year is already flying by. January 26th, 2020. What are you reaping today? What harvest has come into your life to brought you here? How do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about your life? Do you like where you are currently? Be honest. Talk to God. Oh, my God. If you read through the book of Psalms, every possible human emotion that you can experience is expressed. So God's bigger than your complaints. God's bigger than your venting. God's bigger. You want to cuss? You want to get angry? Whatever. God's bigger than all that. And he's with you in it. God's grace is with me to do what he has called me to do. He has already put that grace before you. Here's the step I want you to take. Boom, here's some grace for you to do it. Go. And then I come back. Oh, yeah, God wanted me to do that. Oh, I'm going to do this instead. What's stopping me? And I'm going to get my paddle back on because I'm in that same boat with you. I got to make the choice for myself. When Pastor Ray asked me to speak today, fear like went through the back of my mind. Like, oh, dang, I don't know if I want to do that. But I knew for me, this is one next step for me in God's call for my life. And I know that I need to obey his call. And I know that when I step into obedience, that grace is there in that obedience. So I have to. It looks different. Everyone's next step is different. That was my one next step. But 10 years ago, that wasn't my next step. That's my one next step today. God's grace built up over time to put me here. I could have said no. I could have been like, I'm good. They don't want to hear what I have to say anyways. No matter what I do, they're going to compare me to Pastor Ray. I was talking to Johnny earlier about this. I mean, I came from his genes after all. I mean, what could I do? All these thoughts crossed my mind. And I have to willfully choose to not let that fear, not let that emotion stop me from doing what I know I need to do. If you feel like you can't do something, get in your word and look at what the truth says. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The scripture we read today was in Hebrews 4. We have a great high priest who knows what it feels like to struggle. And he will help you in every single step, every single struggle you could ever face. He is there with you if you will lean upon him. He's not going to make you. I have to choose. God gave us the beautiful gift of free will. It's a blessing and it's a burden. Is it not? If he wanted to make us robots who just worshiped him, he could have done that. But to really love, to really choose worship, I have to have the option to not choose love. I have to have the option to not choose to worship God. I have to have the option to not choose life. For it to be a real choice, I have to be able to not choose it. God wants us to willfully follow him. Willfully take. I'm not talking about 10 steps. What is one? What is one step? Tomorrow, can you get up and spend 5 minutes with God and read a scripture? Tomorrow. Get on your, if you guys have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, it's a phenomenal app. Every day it has a verse of the day. Start with that. It's a great place to start. The Bible's really big. Look at it. I mean, where do I even start? Oh, my God. Start in the New Testament. All the Ians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans, Corinthians, all the Ians are epistles written to us as a church. After Christ came and Christ died, now I believe in him. What do I do next? Good question. Those questions are all answered in those books. Start there. Go on, again, on the YouVersion Bible app, what a phenomenal resource. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of Bible reading plans. You can get on there, and it even has them categorized by topic. What are you feeling? Anxious, worried, sad, afraid, scared? Click on that, and it'll give you a list of Bible plans that address that exact emotion. Phenomenal. Phenomenal resource. What a day we live in where it's just, it's there. It's just right there. But no one's making you do it. No one's making me read the Bible. I got to choose it for myself. I set before you death and life. Choose life. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us that option. So accept that I will always reap what I sow. What I wanted to put here is accept I don't have to take that one next step. I want to talk about the bigger principle, which is sowing and reaping. I don't have to do this. If I choose to take that one next step, I will have the blessings that come with that obedience. So let me back up again. This has nothing to do with your salvation. If you are here and you've accepted Christ to be your Savior, you're saved. Whether or not you ever do anything for God's kingdom or not, because you put your faith in Jesus Christ, his blood has washed away all your sin. Washed away all your sin. Oh, come on. His blood has washed away all your sin. His blood has washed away all my sin. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to. I don't have to take that step. Obviously, otherwise I would have taken it by now, right? I can choose to take it or I can choose to not take it. I will always reap what I sow. So one, identify. What is that one next step? Be specific as you can be. For the next 7 days, I will read. There's even day Bible reading plans. Oh, my gosh. I'm plugging the YouVersion Bible app right now. So on there, there's like all these various days. You can pick a 3-day reading plan or a 7-day or a 14-day or a 2-month. There's all kinds of varieties on there. Find one that interests you. It has a little passage about that topic and some scriptures to go with it. 5-6 minutes of your morning. Commit to it. Just decide. I choose. I got to get up at 6 to get ready for work. So instead, I'm going to get up at 5:50 so I can have a little bit, 10 minutes to spend time with God. And I don't want to feel tired, so I'm going to go to bed at 10 instead of at 2. I will always, always, always reap what I sow. when I sow to my flesh, in other words, my sinful desires that don't help me get closer to Jesus, I will reap a harvest of corruption, of death, of frustration. I don't understand why is it so frustrating. Oh, I see. I'm doing this stupid thing over here. But when I sow to my spirit, I will reap life and peace. Life is connection. In the Bible, life and death always has to do with connection to God. Life means I'm connecting to God. And more, in as many ways as I'm willing to surrender to God, that's how many ways I can experience his life and peace in my life. As many ways as I'm unwilling to surrender to God, that I want God's like, give up this, and I'm like, nope. That's, I like that. I keep it right here next to me. I'm not going to give that up. And God's like, okay. And I'm still going to carry that limp because I'm holding onto this chain that's keeping me down. I'm choosing that. Be real. That's the whole point of reflection. Lord, search my heart and know me. Lord, show me myself. Show me the choices that I'm making that's producing this junk that I don't want. Rather than saying, oh, it's all them. They put this on me. The world is against me. Really? Man, I can be a little facetious here. I'm going to move past that. So what am I doing? Take responsibility for yourself. God has put within you the power to make choices. Amen. Let me put it this way. My choices are the only thing in all of creation that I have any control over. Yeah. Everything else is outside of my control. I can't make anyone do anything. Yeah. I can only control my own choices. Now, I can make it really uncomfortable for you if you're not going to choose the choice that I want you to choose. But when it comes down to it, I can't make you. Oh, I want my kids to put their clothes in the basket when they take them off at the end of the day. I can't like physically make them like get their hands and like make them do it. I can give them consequences for not doing it, rewards for doing it, but ultimately they have to choose to obey dad or not obey dad, basically, right? Same thing. God has set before me, here's this one next step. So I'm confident that many of you already know what that step is. Get in a life group. Show up at church. Join a ministry team. Go through Shift. Our new program is awesome. I don't have the, you have the little thing there? Oh, yeah. This, we put it out for you. One step, 101. Two step, 201. Three step, 301. 1, 2, 3, 4. The steps are laid out for you right there. That will help you grow in your commitment and your maturity in Christ Jesus. Will help you identify who God created you to be. Will help you find out, Lord, what have you called me to do? What's one next step? Here's a great way to figure it out. Here's a step that you can take. Sign up in the lobby. It's awesome. What is one next step? Reflect. Why am I not doing it? And recognize, accept the reality that should I choose to continue doing what I know I shouldn't be doing, I'm going to continue reaping the harvest that comes with that. And if I choose instead to do what God is laying before me, here's the opportunity. If you'll choose this, the blessings that come with that obedience. Isn't that right, Pastor Kev? When you're on this side of obedience, before you do it, you don't know what the blessing is going to be on this side. Pastor Kev moved his family out here from the East Coast, and you had no idea all the blessings that would come from that choice, right? You had to trust God. When I was 20, I moved to Oklahoma to go to Bible school. The heck, Oklahoma? Why would I go there? I could have chosen not to do that. And I didn't know. I had no idea of the blessings that would come from that choice. Now, these are like big, big choice deals, right? But if I choose and This make it smaller. If I choose to start getting up and spending time in God's word, over time, one day at a time, not tomorrow, not the next day, maybe next week or next month, I'll all of a sudden notice, wow, you know, I haven't got that angry recently. Wow, I'm being a little more patient with the people around me. That one person at work really isn't bothering me as much as that person used to. Did she change? Oh, you're kidding me? That person's as annoying as ever. I changed. I chose to be more patient. I got the word of God in my heart. And what you put in is what's going to come out. If I'm putting in junk in my eye gates and my ear gates, It's getting down in my heart. What do you think is going to come out? You squeeze a banana, banana's going to come out. So whatever you're putting into yourself, that determines what you're going to get out. Good? It's good stuff? God is so good. I had to stop asking the question, God, why would you choose me? Why would you be so good to us? Why would you send your son? I don't know. God loves us. Amen. And it makes literally no sense. Because I know the things I've done. Why would God forgive me of those things? Because he chooses to. God chooses to forgive us of our sins. God says, I want relationship with you. The first purpose that God even created you was so you can know him. You could worship him. You could be in relationship with him. That's your first purpose. Hallelujah. In the end, you're not going to answer to me. You're not going to answer Pastor Ray or Pastor Esther. You're not going to answer to your mom, your dad, your kids. You're not going to answer to anybody. You're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account. What did you do in this life? One, God's going to ask you two questions. One, what did you do with Jesus? Did you believe in him, or did you reject him? Two, what did you do with the life, the gift of life that I gave you, with the skills, the talents, the abilities, the resources, the personality, the gift that is life? What did you do with it? At that point, you're going to be, I didn't have the time to read my Bible. I was too afraid to be a consistent giver because I didn't think you're going to come through for me, God. In the end, none of this, it's not going to be me. In the end, it's going to be you and God. And when God asks you the question, what are you going to say? Now, there is moving forward, I can't undo the choices I've made. And there are some choices that I made that I'm like, oh, dang, God's going to ask me about that. I got to tell him. But moving forward, I can make different choices. I can sow different seed into my life. What is one next step? What's stopping you from doing that? You alone have the power to make that choice. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening in to hear the word of God today. At Family Life Church, our purpose is to help you grow into full maturity in Christ. You can join us on Sundays at the Covina Center for the Performing Arts at 9:30 and 11 a.m. Or if you are interested in joining one of our life groups, you can do so by clicking Next Step at the top of your screen. And now you will be led in a simple prayer.
Father, you're so good to us. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for sending your son Jesus to die for our sins, so that we can have a relationship with you. Lord, I pray you help us to step up. Help us to step up and take that one next step that you put out before us. Lord, help me to choose life. Help us to choose life. Help us to not be afraid to let go of those things you want us to let go of. Help us to have the strength, the courage. Help us to lean into your grace and step into obedience. Lord, I ask that you show each one of us what are the choices that we're making that are working against the things that we actually want. Help us to make different choices that will bring us closer to you. Now, we never want to close out a service without giving you the opportunity to establish a relationship with Jesus. If you're here today and you say, wow, that sounds great. I've never made a commitment to Jesus. I never asked him to come into my life. I've never called upon his name and asked him to forgive me of my sins. Then we want to give you the opportunity today. Or if you're here and you say, I have made that choice in the past, but man, some stuff has happened, and I walked away from God. And today, I want to make a fresh commitment of myself to Jesus. So if you're here and you've never accepted Christ to be your Savior, and you would like to do so, or you want to make a fresh commitment of your life, today, raise your hand, and I want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. I see your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I see your hands. Hallelujah. 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 At Family Life Church, we're a church family. And we pray together as a church family. So I'm going to invite all of us to lift our hands and repeat this prayer. Those of you who raise your hand, call out to Jesus. Call out to him. He is here right now. Repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean by your precious blood. This day, I commit to live my life for you. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. And I will pursue you. Thank you for helping me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Worship big, worship loud. People giving their lives to Jesus. This is what it's all about.